Okay, today is Daf Vav. We are on Daf Hey Amid Beis on the first wide line, Amar Mar. We alluded to this before yesterday. It says Amar Mar. We just said Yachal. I would think Yatmin. You can hide your chametz. V'yikabel pikdonos min hanachrim, and you can also accept a pikadon from a goy. Talmud Lomar. So you can't do that. Talmud Lomar. So therefore, the Torah has to say Lo Yimatze. You can't find any chametz. Chametz can't be found on your property. Does it make a difference if you hide it in the ground? Does it make a difference if it belongs to a guy? It can't be found on your property. But wait a minute. Hamarta Resha, but we started off by saying, Shalacha i'ataroa. You can't see your own. Aval ataroa shalacher v'shalgavoa. But you can see a guy's. So can you see a guy's or can't you see a guy's? So if my answer is lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Ha dekabel aleha achrayas. One case is where you accepted responsibility to watch this chametz. Ha, the lo kabel leha achrayas. And the other case is where you didn't accept responsibility. So if you accept responsibility, it becomes like yours, then you can't have it on your property. But if the guy puts it there and you have no responsibility for it at all, that it doesn't belong to you at all, it's not your mamon, it's all the guys all throughout, then it could stay there. It's a big machlokas. What are we talking about? Are you a shomer sachar? Are you a shomer chinam? The Mishnah Berurah says he's machmir. He says even if you're a shomer chinam, because you should still get rid of it. Even though we're going to see a story, kid amaluhu ravel of name Mechuzah. Like Rava said to the people of Mechuzah, his city. Rashi says beiro chamira, get rid of all the chametz dibnei chayla that belongs to the soldiers. Mibataychu, from your houses, right? The soldiers, non-Jewish soldiers, would deposit the flour or their bread in the Jews' homes for storage, and the Jews are watching it. And Rava says, get rid of all that. Why? Kivun de ilu migna v'ilu misbid, if it would get stolen or lost, right? Bershusaychu koi, it's in your possession, ubi itzu l'shlume, you're going to have to pay them back. The guy, if the soldier comes knocking and says, where's my... It got stolen. You have to pay me back. Therefore, kidilachon damui. It's considered like it's your property. The usher. And then it'll be usher. So even though... So some say, you see from here, that Rava was only talking about a shomer sachar. Shomer sachar is not responsible for lost or stolen. Right? I'm sorry, it got lost. It got stolen. It's not my responsibility. So some say, no, that Rava was just saying the what might happen. That might happen. But even if you're a shomer chinam, you're going to still be chayev. That's a more probable case than what's the only time a shomer chinam is chayev if he uses it. You're not using it. You're not using someone else's chametz, it's someone else's flour or bread. But that wasn't the point. So Rava was saying a more practical case. But ein hachinami, even if it's a shomer chinam, you'd have to pay. That's a big machlokes, whether it's even a shomer chinam or not. Anyway, so what do you see from here? That you have to pay... If you're a shomer, you're responsible. If you're not a shomer, you're not going to be responsible. So ha'nicha, that makes sense. Lamanta Omer, according to Lamanta Omer, somewhere else in Masechtas Baba Kama, who says davar ha'goreim l'mamon kimamon dami, something that you caused that is caused like money is like money. What does that mean? Like this bread, it's not money, but it's going to cause you to pay money because if it gets stolen, you're going to have to pay them back. Right? So it's like money. It's not dollars, right? But it has the same din as money. That makes sense. El Amanda Amar Lav Kimamon Dami, but there's Amanda Amar there Baba Kam who says this is not like money. So my ikal meimer, why do you have to it doesn't have the din of mammon in terms of paying back. So you don't have to pay back. So what's going on here? So why do you have to get rid of it? So Gemara says, "Chani hacha d'amar lo yimate." You're right. But there's an extra chumra by chametz lo yimate. Now ikati amri. Others have the exact same discussion, slightly different. Honey, chalaman d'amar davar go l'mamon lav k'mamon dami. It makes sense if you hold that something that's going to cause you to pay money is not mamon. Hainu d'istrich lo yimate. That's why there's an extra mentioning of lo yimate. But if you say that it is like money, lo yimatzei lamali, then lo yimatzei is extra. Of course, it's money. It's yours. So Gemara says, itzrach. Salakadai dechamina, I would think, ho'ol v'chi isyei. If you have it in your possession, hadar be'enei, you're going to give it right back. The guy left a 5-pound bag of flour. Here's the flour. Here it is. Go take it back. So lav rishus ekai. So then it's not going to be considered your rishus because you have it ready to give back to him. So why should you be chayav for that? Kamash malan, you're still chayav for that because by chametz the rules are slightly different. It's the same bottom line. Fine. Now bar minei mei rava. They ask the following question from Rava. Behemas arnuna. If you have an animal, and the government where you live, they're involved in everything you do. So every herd that you have, the government takes 1/10. It's a tax from the government. So that's what arnuna means. So you have a behemas arnuna. So the Bnei Yeshua says, what's this doing here? We're going to have a question. Yichayev in Bechor. So the Bnei Yeshua says, because we're talking about Lav Kamam, whether it's Kamam or Dami. You'll see in a second. So behemas arnuna, an animal that the government has a tax on you, and you're going to have to give 1/10. So it's chayevus b'chor or yin chayevus b'chor. Is that animal chayev in b'chor or not? Well, what's going on here? Because Rashi reminds us that the halacha of b'chor is, if you have a b'chor in a partnership with a guy, there's no din of b'chor. If you own the mother animal as a partnership with a guy, there's no b'chor. Learn that of psukim. Only a Jew, only shal Yisrael, not if it's a partnership. So here, the government has a chelik in that animal, because they're going to take 1/10. So is that considered a partnership or not? That's the Gemara's question. So kol hecha d'mati masalik le'bezuzei, when you can pay the government off with money, and say, listen, don't take the animal. Here's $100, that's what it's worth anyway. Right? If you could do that, if the government doesn't care, then lo kamei boilon d'chayev. Then it's not a question. You certainly have to chayev in b'char. Why? Because the government has no stake really in that animal. They just want money out of you. So far as you send them a check and that's all. So then there's certainly no issue of partnership regarding Bechor. But kika mibaylon hechad delo matzi masalik lebezuzei. No, you can't pay them off. They want that animal. They're going to send the inspector down. They're going to take the animal. So now is that like a partnership or not? So amai, what's the halacha? Amalahu petura. That's potter. Why? Because you're a partnership. I bought Tanya Chayevus, but we learned elsewhere that you're chayev in Bechor anyway. So the Gemara says, Hasim, you know why you're chayev? The matzim atagla, because you can pay them off. You can send them money. So, Igad Yamri, others have the following version. Amar Rava, behemas arnuna. If you have a behema, again, same case, behemas arnuna, the government has a stick in your animal. Petur min abachora, your potter from Bechor, afagaf the matzim atagla, even though you can pay them off. Still potter. But isas arnuna, if you have dough, right? Even the government so involved in your life, it's so intrusive that even bread that you bake, to come take some of it. So the same question: what about challah? Because again, the Rashi points out that the pesukim for challah only talk about Jews' challah. So if you own challah in partnership with the guy, there is no challah, no din of challah. So now the government has a stake in your challah, right? So what about challah? So the Gemara says chayeves b'challah, you're still chayev in challah. The afagaf, the low matzi masalikli. Even if you can't pay them off, you're still going to have to pay challah. My time, why is that? So the Gemara says, behema isle kala. Behema, everybody knows that basically the whole reason why you have to give challah is because they don't want people to think you're not giving challah. Because behema, everybody knows, it's such a big animal, and everybody hears, everybody knows the rules that the government comes and takes part of it away. But isa, let's like kala. Isa, there's no, what do you call it? It's not public knowledge. It's only in your kitchen. So it's not as broadcast what's going on. So if it's true, really you should be putter in challah. Because there's a guy who's a partner with you. The government comes and takes it away. They take away a tenth, whatever it is. So really you should be putter. But people aren't going to realize. Because challah is such a small item and it's under the radar. People are going to think you're not giving challah. Therefore, you have to give challah. But by the behema, everybody knows. Right? Everybody, big, large stock items, everybody knows what's happening with them. So no one's going to think you're doing anything wrong. So the whole reason is for Marathayim. People shouldn't think you're doing something wrong, even though technically you don't have to. You should give it anyway. People should realize that you're doing the right thing. Okay. Right. So the Peneshah says what this is doing here. The question of Mammon. That is whether or not something that's not mammon has a din of mammon, right? So what's the question?
So was it? So was, let's say,
Right, so we, right, maybe, because we said the Chometz is different, right? Even though the guy, even though you could, right? The Lima from Lo Yimatze, right? Different. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Nachwi, Shinechnas Lechatzeru Shal Yisrael. If a guy walks into the property of a Jew, and he's got Chometz in his hand, so Ein Zavag Levayer. You don't have to get rid of it. You don't have to destroy it right on the spot. Right? The mailman's coming to deliver the stuff on your property and he's got a pizza in it. You don't have to say anything to the guy. Right? But Hefkido Etzlo, if he makes a picado near you, or he leaves it with you, then Zakuk Levi, you have to destroy it. But Yichad Lo Bayis, if you give him a part of your house, if you designate a part of your house, and Rashi explains, you don't invite him to give a picado, he's just putting it there. And you're not accepting responsibility. So you're not accepting achray. That's basically what that means. Then ein zakuk levar. You don't have to destroy it. Shenamar, because it says, lo yimatze. So Gemara says, my ka'amar, how does lo yimatze have to do with this discussion? Right? What does lo yimatze have to do with this? You basically, what we're saying is, if the guy leaves it in your house, you don't accept responsibility, but you set it aside in the corner, that's okay. Why? Lo yimatze. What does lo yimatze have to do with this? So Amar of Papa, no, Aresha Koi. The words lo yimatze are going on the Resha. V'hachika Amar, this is what it means. Hefkido etzlo, if he made a pekadim by you, zakok levar, you have to destroy it. Shenemar lo yimatze. Can't be in your property, it's yours really now, we said before. You're accepting responsibility, you're going to have to pay for the guy. You're going to have to pay for that if it gets stolen. So it's like yours. But V'hachika Amar, no, all about Seifa Koi. It's going on the Seifa. V'hachika Amar. Yichad lo bayis, if you set aside a corner in the house, and assuming also that you don't accept responsibility for this, you can leave it there. Shenemar, because it says lo yimatze bivotechem, right? V'ha lav di dehu. I'm sorry. Shenemar lo yimatze bivotechem. The lo yimatze over here means it's not considered yours. Only your stuff can't have it. The guys, you can. So it's very interesting. The Mechaber Paskins this way. He says in Siman Tov Mem Sif Gimel, any Yehudi. If a non-Jew, shenichnas lebeis Yisrael, he walks into your house, v'chemsa b'yad, he's got chametz in his hand, ein zakuk lehotzio. You don't have to ask him to leave. You don't have to throw him out. Why? Afal pi shehai Yisrael roe chametz l'Yehudi, even though you're staring at it, ein bekach klum. Doesn't make a difference. Then Mechaber says, avol asa laha loso imu ala shulchan. You can't invite him to the table. That you can't do. Right, the guy's coming to check your the Con Ed a leak, and he's got food with him. You don't have to ask him, but you can't invite him in. You can't invite him to come sit and eat with you. Vafilu behefsik mapa, even if you can have a hefsik of a different tablecloth. And the Mishnah Berurah reminds us that, let's say this could come up on Chol Hamoed, you're at work, and let's say there's like a common cafeteria, and you're sitting with your friends the goyim, and they always eat with you. So during the year, we're not scared that you're gonna, let me have a French fry. Let me try some of that. We're not scared about that. Why? Because it's a hacker. And the Mechaber points out, you can even eat milch because your friends eating fleishik. A Jew. Right? We're not scared that you're gonna mix each other's food because there's always a hacker. You have to eat with a hacker. Right? But here, he says that the problem is, forget the hacker of joining with each other. Forget that problem. The problem is that the crumbs are going to go in your food. Right? Even if you're not going to eat from the guy. You don't even know who he is. He's a total stranger. Right? Just the first day on the job. He's a total stranger. You're not going to sit and eat with him. There's no child you're going to come to share his food. He says, no, that's not the problem is that the crumbs are going to go into your food. So stay away. But if he walks into your property and you're not going to eat with him, you don't have to say anything to him. Right? That's what the Mechaber Paskins right from Magamara. So, getting back, so that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'halav di dehu, it's not yours. D'nachwi ki kama'ayel lebeise, d'nafshe kama'ayel. He's coming in, it's his own. Right? In other words, you know why you're allowed to leave it there? Because it's not yours. That's what we've been saying all along. So the Gemara says, lememru, do you mean to say, d'shchiras kanya, that when you rent something, when someone rents something, so for example, let's say this has a din of renting, because you're not responsible for it, and the guy's allowed to come in and out as he pleases and take it. So let's say it's like a rental. So you mean to tell me that the guy's coded it for himself, and therefore he's allowed to go in and out. But we know what now we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah Rashi says it's in the Mitzvah of Avodah Zarah that there was an Isser to rent property, to rent apartments to Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. But in surrounding areas, you're allowed to rent to them. That's where the Mishnah picks up over here. Ah, f'makom sh'amu lahaskir. Even in places where we said it's mutter to rent to them, like in Surya, Chutz La'aretz. Nevertheless, lav lebeis dira amru. You can't rent them apartments. Why? B'pnei shemach nisim l'tocha avodah zarah. They're going to bring in their idols. And what's happening? So Rashi says, what could you rent to them? You could rent them for storage, to keep wood, to keep stuff. Storage you could rent them. That's the place to live. Why? They're going to bring the avodah zarah in. So wait a minute. If they're bringing the avodah zarah, so who cares? Let them bring the avodah zarah in. So this Mishnah assumes it's yours. They're bringing the avodah zarah into your house. So what do you see? That when they rent something, it's not like they're renting. It's not like they're kona, right? It's not like they're kona. They're renting. They're bringing the avodah zarah to your house. And over here we say the guy can bring his chametz into your house. What's the difference? So v'isal k'dayetuk to sechiras kanya. If you're going to tell me that sechiras is kanya, so ki kom ayil beisid dinafshe kom ayil. So when the guy brings the avodah zarah, he's bringing it into his own house. What's your problem? So the Gemara answers, no, shiny hacha, here it's different. Here it's different. Why? The afke rachmana b'loshin lo yimatze. The Torah went out of its way to use the language of lo yimatze, misha matzi biyadecha, meaning something that's readily available in your hand. Yatzazesh ena matzi biyadecha. This is not readily available in your hand. Rashi says, why not? Because you stick it in the corner. So really it's true. Really, schiris is not kona. That's why when you rent an apartment to a guy, you shouldn't rent him as a makom dira because he's going to bring in the avodah zarah. It's a big problem. Sechiras is not talking over here. You can leave the food there because we make a drush from lo yimatze. It means telling that you're never going to get to. Oh, the guy's stuff is in the corner. Fine. Right. Okay, a little more. Amar of Yehuda Amash Rav Hamotzi chametz beveso biyantif. If somebody finds chametz in his house on yantif, look at that. You search and you did such a good bedika, but you found some chametz. So what do you do? It's on yantif. So kofa olav es hakli. You cover it with a kli. Rashi says you can't touch it because it's muksa. You can't touch it. You can't take it out right now. Oh, the garbage truck, you'll throw it in. You can't do that because it's muksa. Why are you covering it with a kli? Because we don't want you to eat it. You might eat it. It's sitting there all day. You might eat it. So just to prevent you from eating it, you cover it with a kli. Rashi says that you've already, don't worry about that. Why? Rashi says, Umihu bal yiroa lo avar, you're not over that. Why? Da batle believe. You were already mevatalit believe. Which is going to be a big question on Amud Beis. What does believe mean? Did you have to verbalize anything? What? No, Rashi l'shitasa was that it has the din that you made it into nothing. But you could do that believe? He said it there, right. He did say it there. On Amud Beis, he's going to say you have to say a kol chamira. So, the big discussion of what Rashi means. Okay, we'll get into it on Amud Beis. So what do? You cover it with a kli? And then the whole discussion, we had learned that you can't be mevatel kli mehichano. Remember, you can't take a kli and make it that you can't do anything with it. So here it's different because it's such an isser chamor of possibility of a kareis, eating chametz. So we suspend the dinim of muksa regarding the keli for to save you. Also, you're not really about to the kli. You could pick the kli up. You could pick it up. We just don't want you to because we don't want you having the potential to eat that chametz. Omar Rava, but imshal hektishu. But if the chametz in your possession somehow belongs to hektish, I don't know how that could happen. Eino tzarech. You don't have to cover it with a kli. My time, or why not? Because mivdal bidli le'minei. You already separated. Nobody goes near hektish. Anyway, no, even during the week, nobody goes near hektish. So if it's hektish, you're not going to go near. You don't have to worry. From Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, chemso shel nachri. If it's the chametz of a nachri, osilo mechitza asar tzvachim mishum heker. Build a mechitza 10 tzvachim around it because of heker. So Rashi says this is talking about erev yontif. Yontif, you can't build a mechitza. Erev yontif, the guy is leaving stuff in your house. You're not makabel achrayis. So he's allowed to leave it there, but put a mechitza around it so you don't come to eat any of it. You might forget, it's in your house. So just put a mechitza around it so you don't come to eat it, that's all. But the kli issue, that's only if you find it in a place where you're going to possibly come to eat it, and it's yours. This is talking about before Yontif. Again, v'yamshal hakdishu en atzarech my time or why not mivdal bedil minei idish minei, you're removed from it. From Hudamarav says hamafresh, if somebody's going away or he's going away on a sea trip, he's going on a cruise, or vayotzi b'shayara, he's going on a caravan, he's going on a journey. Kodem shloshim yom, if he's going before 30 days, ein zakach levar. You don't have to get the guy to. You don't have to worry about petikas chametz. But toch shloshim yom, if it's within 30 days, zakach levar, you do. Amar Abaya said, "Hadamar toch shloshim yom zakach levar." That which we said that within 30 days you have to. Lomar, we only said that. Ella shidaito lachzer. Only if you're going to return. Rashi says on Pesach. Abel ein daito lachzer ein zakach levar. If you're not going to return, you don't have to. Amale Rava, what do you mean? If you're going to return on Pesach, then I feel in Rosh Hashanah Nami. Even if you're leaving Rosh Hashanah, you have to do B'diket Chametz Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to come back on Pesach, right? You're going to walk in. It's Chametz all over the place. So of course you have to do no matter when you leave. Ela Amar Rava, Hada Marta Kodem Shloshim Ein Zakach Levar. That which we said before 30 days, you don't have to do B'dika. That's Lomor El Shein Daito Lachzer. You have no intention of returning. But if you're going to return, I feel in Rosh Hashanah is Zakach Levar. Doesn't make a difference when you leave. And there's a machlok, it's what it means Rosh Hashanah here. Does it mean Rosh Hashanah? Or does it mean year to year? You leave Matzah Pesach, you're not coming back for a year. You're going to return on Pesach? You got to do B'dika, Matzah Pesach.
Pesach.
What?
Pesach,
that's right. You have to do B'dika. Why? Because you're going to return on Pesach. Rav is very consistent. Amar Rav, bezo otzer. If somebody makes his house into an otzer, what does that mean? That means he puts the chametz all the way on the bottom and he piles stuff on top of it. So we're going to learn later that if you have chametz at the bottom of a rubble pile, you can't get to it. So you don't have to do bedikah there because you can't get to it anyway. So to here, you pile up a whole house full of stuff, chametz all the way on the bottom. So kodem shloshim yom, if it's before 30 days, ein zakach levar. Because no matter what, you're not going to have to search for it even if it's within 30 days. But, tok shloshim yom zakach levar. Why? Because it's within 30 days. We're going to get to the 30 days in a minute. But, uvekodim shloshim nami lo amaron, elo she'ein daito lefnoso. You have no intention of clearing it away. Avo daito lefnoso, you're going to clear it out anyway, then afilu kodim shloshim yom nami zakach levar. Even before 30 days, you have to clear that out. So, Rav is very consistent. Fine. Now, hani shloshim yom maya vidatayu, where do these 30 days come from? Where did 30 days become as the cutoff? Who made up 30 days? So the Gemara says, okay, to Tanya, Sholin v'darshin v'ilchas Pesach, Kodor Pesach, Shloshim Yom. There's a halacha that you should start learning and asking questions about Hilchas Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Rav Shimon make a little omer, Shtei Shavasos, 2 weeks before Pesach. So this is a big discussion. What does this line mean? First of all, the Machaber, this is the opening halacha of Hilchas Pesach. Sholim b'Hilchas Pesach, Kodol Pesach Shloshim Yom. So Beferish Gemara, 30 days before. So we know there's a Gemara that says you should learn the halachas of the Chag b'Chag, halachas of Atzeres b'Atzeres, halachas of Sukkot b'Sukkot. How does that fit with this line? So some say, first of all, this is only Pesach. Only Pesach have a 30-day rule because there's so many. The Mishnah Berurah says Pesach there's so much to discuss. You need 30 days to get ready, and you don't need 30 days for Shavuos. So, but the idea of on Yontif, you should be discussing in Yonah D'Yoma. It's unrelated to this. This is to prepare. But on Yontif, on Sukkot, don't learn Hilchas Pesach on Sukkot. Right? Somebody, don't ask the Rav some question about your lulav on Pesach. Don't do that. On Pesach, discuss Pesach. On Sukkot, discuss Sukkot. But getting ready 30 days before, that's maybe reserved for Pesach. So I focus on that, but the Pashtas. The interesting thing is that the Rambam does not mention this halach at all. He doesn't mention anything about 30 days before. So I saw the sefer called Elehe Moadai from Rabbi Leo Schlesinger, Rav Eretz Yisrael. He says as follows. He says there's two ways to look at this halacha. He says, what is halacha about 30 days before? What does that mean? Is it a preparation? Get yourselves ready so that when Pesach comes, you'll be nice and ready. Or is it more than that? Or is it, it's a halacha that's connected specifically to Pesach. Part of Pesach is that 30 days before you get yourself ready. It's a halacha that's unique to Pesach. Rav Schlesinger says that the Rebbe Chaber held the second way. Getting ready for Pesach, it's not just getting ready. The Rebbe Chaber doesn't tell you that before Sukkot, buy yourself a lulav. Chaber doesn't have to tell you that. But why? Because it's pashut. But when it comes to Pesach, the Mechaber goes out of his way to tell you that 30 days before, start learning, it's a special din regarding Hilchas Pesach. And he supports that with the Ramah. The Ramah, the next line of the Ramah is Haggah, Uminag Liknos Chitim, L'chakon La'anim, there's a minhag to buy bread, and Mo'os Chitim to the... What's this doing in Hilchas Pesach? It's Hilchas Tzedakah. Before Pesach, give Tzedakah. So he says, no, it's a special din about Pesach. 30 days before, Mo'os Chitim, it's a special Pesach din that are related to each other. Right? He says, the Ramah didn't hold on, right? The Ramah held it, was just get ready. So I have to tell you to start learning... So it's like, I have to tell you to buy a lulav. Get ready. So therefore, the Rambam didn't have to include it. So that's what Rosh Hashanah to suggest. That's why the Rambam leaves it out. Okay. Now, with...
Why isn't there a lulav by Sukkot about buying a Sukkot?
Because it's not... The Mishnah Berurah already said it's not as complicated. It's not as complicated. It's not as involved. Like we said, there are at least 24 mitzvot, Doraisa, that are related to Hilchas Pesach. To Yom Tov Pesach. So it's not as involved. So that's why by Sukkot they weren't so machmer. Okay. So... My time with the Tana Kama. What's the reason of the Tana Kama? Where did he get 30 days from? Shari Moshe Omer B'Pesach. Moshe stood on Pesach, Rishon. Umazir Pesach Sheni. And he already gave all the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So you see, 30 days before he was already giving them all the halachas. So Tosfos says, second Tosfos, Af Agav Shal Yadav She'ei Loso. Who's Kuklo Melehen? But wait a minute, Moshe had to answer something. These people came and told him. What do? We can't bring the carbon Pesach. We're Tameh. So what should Moshe have said? So Tosfos said, you know what Moshe could have said? He could have said, don't bring the carbon Pesach. And we'll discuss later what to do. Right? Didn't have to give him whole Hilchas Pesach now. Ella al tasu Pesach v'sulo. Right now you can't bring the carbon Pesach. You're Tameh, that's true. What are you going to do? We'll discuss it. Moshe didn't do that. He went out of his way and gave him the whole Hilchas Pesach 30 days before. Yeah. One second, we're going to get to that. Shneamar, because it says, "Vayasu b'nei Yisrael as a Pesach b'moado." Uksiv, and it says, "Vahi anoshim eshahoy yitamei l'nefesh adam." There were those people that were tamei, and they had problems. So, and they were told Hilchas Pesach right now, 30 days before. So, what do you see? 30 days before Pesach, you have to get ready. For sure, being a little omer. Omalach, no, I did the Ari Bamila de Pischa, Masik Lu call Mila de Pischa. No, they like Tosa said, they asked him a question, so he told them, okay, I'm discussing it, I'll tell you everything. Lav Dafka, it's a riot, you have to do it 30 days before. So, my time with Dabshir Bingham Leel, so Dabshir Bingham Leel get 2 weeks from. He says 2 weeks. Why? Shari Moshe Omed Birosh HaChodesh, Moshe was standing on Rosh Chodesh. This is the talking at Imitzrayim. Umazir al HaPesach. And he was warning them on Pesach. Shenemar, because it says, HaChodesh Adel Lecher Bosh Chodashim. Right? Pasha's bow. HaChodesh Adel Lecher Bosh Chodashim. Fixim, and it says, Dabel B'nei Sol, Leimor B'etzel HaChodesh Hazeh, Vikul Lechem, Lohem, Ish Tel Abayit, Ish Lebeit Avos. Right? On Rosh Chodesh, he told them, HaChodesh Adel Lecher Bosh Chodashim. And by the way, in 2 weeks from now, we're going to have Pesach. And make sure by the 10th, they have a carbon, and give them all the halachos, Bal Yirah, Bal Yomate, Tashbitsu. So you see, 2 weeks before. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Mimai did B'derej Yachah Koi. How do you know that Moshe said that on Rosh Chodesh? Dilma maybe, but Arba'a D'Yachah or B'chamisha D'Yachah. Maybe it was on the 4th or the 5th. How do you know it wasn't on Rosh Chodesh? Yeah, he did say HaChodesh Zeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim. This month is Nisan, it's Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh Zeh Lechem. How do you know it was on Rosh Chodesh? No, but if it was on the 5th day, it's less than 2 weeks. So 4th or the 5th day, less than 2 weeks. So Yaakov Evans says something amazing. He says, why did the Gemara say 4th or the 5th? Why pick the numbers 4 and 5? So he says, because remember, we learned this in Shabbos. When did the Bnei Israel leave Mitzrayim? They left on a Thursday. Right? That means Rosh Chodesh was on a Thursday. The second of the month would have been a Friday. And we know that the Geula never comes on an Erev Shabbos. So Moshe couldn't have said anything on Erev Shabbos. He certainly couldn't have said something on Shabbos itself. He's going to tell them on Shabbos, go start preparing. So the first opportunity would have been the 4th or the 5th. That's the first possible day that it could have been done. Yeah?
No.
Oh, okay. So you're right. That can't be a raya. Ela amar Rab, Bar Sinai, Mishrei de Ravina, Mehocha. Vaydar Bar Shem Moshe, B'midbar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe. This is Pesach Sheni. Hashem spoke to Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, B'shana Hashenis, in the second year, B'chodesh HaRishon, on the first of the month. on the first month. I'm sorry, on the first month. Uksiv, v'yasu b'nei Yisrael, sapesach b'moado. So on the first month, Hashem, right? And then it says it did Pesach. So hachanami, b'may d'b'reish yarchakoi. How do you know it was on Rosh Chodesh? It says the first month. It doesn't say what day of the month. Dilma, maybe ba'arbo b'yacha b'chamishat yacha. Maybe it was on the fourth or the fifth. Who's to say? So now the fourth or the fifth now must be for parallel. Right? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, no. It's your midbar b'midbar. We have a gzera shava. Why? Ksiv, it says, shikhacha b'midbar Sinai. It says over here, midbar Sinai. The ksiv hasam, and it says there, the first pasuk of Sefer Bar Midbar. Right, where's this pasuk about Pesach Sheni? That's the parashas Ba'aloscha. But in the parashas Bar Midbar, the first pasuk says, "Vayidab Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'olmoid bechad lachodesh Hasheni." In the echad lachodesh, the first day of the second month, and the pasuk continues. By the way, it's the second year, so it's the same year. Ma lahalan b'rosh chodesh, afkan b'rosh chodesh. The first pasuk of Sefer Bar Midbar is Rosh Chodesh. That we know clearly. The Torah says. That midbar tells me Rosh Chodesh. So too, the pasuk in Bahaloscha is also Rosh Chodesh. So wait a minute. So the Gemara asks. So 1 second. The parsha of Bahaloscha was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the parsha of Bamidbar, two parshas before, is Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. Second month. So the Gemara says V'nichtov Bereisha deChodesh Harishon V'adinichtov deChodesh Hasheni. So why is parsha Bahaloscha, which took place first? Why is that second? Why is that in Bahaloscha? Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which happened later, is in Parshas Bamidbar. So the famous principle, Amar of Menashe Bar Tachlifa, Meshmei Derav, Zotzemeres Ein Mukta Mocha Torah. There's no water in the Torah. Okay, so no water in the Torah. What?
So what does the Ramban do with this?
1 minute. Why is there no water in the Torah? Why? Why Ein Mukta Mocha Torah? There's a few answers to that. The Chavetz Chaim says in Sefer Shemiras Halashon, in Perek Shara Torah, in the end of the first Perek, he says something that we can just pause and continue on. He says, he quotes from Medrash Tehillim, Yalka Tehillim, Amar B'Elazar, Lo litna parashat Torah al haseder. Parashat Torah were not given an order. She'el mola nitnu al haseder, because if they would have been given an order, Kol Misha Yekor Behen, whoever would learn Torah, Hayach al hachiyos mesim, would be able to be mechayim mesim, v'lasos mosim, to do miracles. Lakach, therefore, nis'ale mehen sidra shel Torah. The seder of the Torah, the order of the Torah was hidden. V'hu gol lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem knows, sh'nemar, because it says in Yeshaya, umi kamoni yikra. What does that exactly mean? I'm not sure. Some kind of secrets that are hidden, that like the Ramban says, that the whole Torah is the name of Hashem, right? And that's why it's written in a certain way, and it all reveals the name of Hashem, and the special names of Hashem. This is more of a Kabbalistic, more of a sod type of reason, that it's all hidden because Hashem has his reasons. And if you know the order, you can do miracles. I mean, the truth is that there is an order to the Torah. Parshas Bereishis happened first, and Zot HaBracha happened last. That's certainly true.
Don't we know when something's out of order?
What? Maybe Lav Dafka. Tosfos HaRosh says, you know why it's out of order? So when somebody gets, gotta be like a Melitza, when someone gets an Aliyah, someone gets Shlishi, someone gets Revi, don't think the guy who got Shlishi is better than you, because it could be that Hashem said Revi first. Right? So that Hashem felt that was more special. We don't know. Right. So that could be, as the Tosfos HaRosh says. So what I heard was as follows. This is what I heard. It's true, I mean, if you look at the Torah, the vast, overwhelming majority of the Pesukim of the Torah start with the letter Vav. Overwhelming majority, at least 85%, at least. They almost all start with a Vav. And it's one long story. Even though we believe that it's not like any other book. Any other book, if you open the middle of chapter 8, you start reading, you have no idea what's flying, a novel. Torah's not like that. You can open it anywhere and you can go. Even though Parshas Bereishis and Noach certainly happened before Parshas Yisro, right? Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov lived before Kabbalah the Torah. No question about it. But the flow of the Torah doesn't stop you from being able to open it at any point and having a connection to it. So I was written that way, maybe to force you to have a Rebbe. If you have a Mesorah, if you have to have a Mesorah, you have to learn. It's all Mesorah based. It forces you to have a Mesorah, because you don't know the order, you don't know what's flying. You have to have a Rebbe. Fine, that's the best I heard. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks over here. There are three Rashi's in the Torah which make no sense. According to what we're saying, you know, we have to learn a few more lines for the Kiva Eger. So that's Ein Mukta Mocha Torah, famous principle. So, Amar of Papa, Lomar and Elabetre Inyani. That's only if it's two separate Inyanim, which Rashi translates to mean two Parshios. Avol Bechad Inyana, but within one Parsha, my demukta muktam, my demukham ochar. Whatever's first is first, and whatever's second is second. In one Inyan, it's an order. De'ilotei mahachi, because if you don't say that, klalu prat, we have a principle, one of the 13 midos, chador and adreshas pen, is klalu prat. Ain't beklal el mashe beprat. Right? So we have a rule that one has to follow the other for a reason. Dilma pratu klal. If you can tell me there's no order, so maybe the whole thing is backwards. Or, maybe the Vesu, Pradu Klal. We have another principle called Pradu Klal. Not the Klal Mosef ala Prat. And the rule is that the Klal Mosef on the Prat. Dilma Klal and Pradu. So maybe it's reverse. Ihachi. If so, right? So maybe it's reverse. So it has to be in order within one parsha. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if so, Afilu betray Yoni Nami. What about two different, why do two different parshas have to be in order? That maybe the same thing is two. Maybe the Gemara is asking. Maybe two different parshas also have to be in order. So the Gemara says, "Honi chalavanda amar klalu prata muchwakin zemize ain't done no so." According to the Mandama, who says that if you have two, that klalu prat can't be learned out klalu prats from psukim that are far away from each other, then that makes sense that two different inyanim, two different parshas don't have to be in order because anyway you can't learn from them. This parsha is here and that parsha there is out of order. Anyway, you can't learn klalu prat from them. But, right? Ain't also b'klal prat shaper dummy. El amanda amar donin ma'ekel neymar. But there's a sheet out there which says you can learn klalu prats from sukkim that are far away from each other. So if they're far away from each other, then maybe even the parshios have to be in order because you're learning klalu prats from sukkim that are far away. So the Gemara answers no. Afil amanda amar donin. Even the court of Adam who says you can learn such klaloprat, hani, mili, b'chad, and yana. That's only in one inyan. Like, fine, that could be three took them away from each other, but they were the same inyan. They were the same parsha. But avo betray inyanim, ain't done. And if there's two separate inyanim, then even he would agree, you cannot learn klaloprat. So, in Parshas Bereishis, Rav Akiva Eger asks, in Parshas Bereishis, it says in the Pasuk, Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, V'yomer Hashem, lo yadon ruchi ba'adam ba'olam, la'olam. Right, I no longer have any spirit with man. B'shagam hu basar, he's just flesh. Fayam of mev eshem shana, he's only going to live 120 years. What does that mean? That means in another 120 years, I'm going to bring the mabul. So Rashi says, wait a minute. But four plukim before, in the same inyan, it says that Noach had three children, and he had shem cham, the yolad Noach has shem cham v'yath yafes. And we know that yafes was 100 years old when the Mabel happened. Right? So, but it says in this Pasuk, four Pesukim later, that it's going to be 120 years. Right? Rashi says, Ey Mukta Mukha Batorah. Rashi says it on the Pasuk in Chumash. What do you mean? It's one Indian. Next, in Parashas Vayera, when Hashem appears to Avraham, and what does Avraham say? Vayomer Hashem, Aleph Tal Nudyon. So there's a machlok, it's whether or not that's he's talking to Hashem or he's talking to the angels. Right, so Rashi says he's talking to Hashem, according to the Medrash, he's talking to Hashem, and he says, Don't be upset that I'm going to leave you now. So Rashi says, wait a minute. But the Pasuk before that said that he already ran to them. So he ran to them and then he said to Hashem, don't worry, I'm going there. So Rashi says, no, that Pasuk must have happened first. Ein mukta mukha b'torah. Right? That's what Rashi says. The third one was in last week's parsha, which is in the same pasuk. It says over there that we actually did this pasuk on Friday's daf, I mean, for a different context. We did it for the donkey. So Vayikach Moshe's ishto, Moshe took Tzipora, v'yes Banav and his children, v'yarkivim al hachamor. He put them on the donkey, right? V'yashav Arzim Mitzrayim. He started to return to Mitzrayim. Vayikach and Moshe's matei elokim biyad. They took a stick. So Rashi, what do you mean? He took a stick after he started moving. So Rashi says, no, he took a stick before. Emukta mukha b'torah. Even the same pasuk? What's going on here? So the Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't answer it. He just notes that these are the three places in the Torah where Rashi seems to disagree. So that's what the Shari Aaron, which is an unbelievable collection of all different Mefarshim, he says as follows. He in Parshas Bereishis, about the 120 years, he asks the question. He asks the question. He says, how could it be? It's the same inyan. How could it be out of order? So he says, he says over here, V'yesh lomar, the dafka drasha, the nafka le'inyan dina, only when it's a drasha regarding dinim, who damrina dechar inyan yesh mokta mocha, that's when we say in one inyan there has to be an order. Aval le'inyan yishav ha'mikra, but just the psukim don't make sense, and it doesn't have something to do with halacha, then afil b'parsha achas ein mokta mocha, maybe even in one parsha there's no order. And he quotes it from the Ber Sada, the Ber Besada, and he says, Ayin Sham Od Mashakasa Bezeh. But that's basically what you're saying, Seth.
It would make sense though.
What?
It would make sense to say that, because you can't be more halacha from the Tzukim, and obviously it's him with us in the Sora in a certain way.
Right.
And if you have to bring Shad Halacha out of Tzukim, there's no other way to do it.
Right, so right.
Then you can shlug up half the halachas that are there.
Right, so the Gemara says the only reason we need it is because of Klal Prat. That's the only reason we need it. So if not for that reason, in the parashas Bereishis and Vayera, has nothing to do with Klal Prat. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, that has nothing to do with Halacha. Right. That was the vart that we had by Yishmael. Right? The Torah says that Yitzchak and Yishmael, so you see, Yishmael did tshuva because he let Yitzchak go first. Right? So, what's the Raya now? There's no Raya. Why? Because it's not Halacha. So if it's not Halacha, who's to say there's an order? Right? That's what we said, that they must hold. So now we're stuck. Okay, we have to figure that out. Okay, we can do a few more lines. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Habodek, if somebody does Bedikas Chametz, Tzarech Sheyivatel, he also has to do Bittel. This is the reverse of what we started the Masechta with. We started the Masechta that if you do, even though you're doing Bittel, you still have to do Bedika. Now we say the exact reverse. Even though you did Bedika, you still have to do Bittel. Why? Why? We started off by saying that the Ran held that you can do either or. Either Bittul or Bedika and Beer. And we're assuming now that you're going to do a good Bedika. Right? You're going to do a good Bedika. So, but still, nevertheless, you still should do Bittul. Rashi says, Belibo. Here it is. Belibo. Doing Bittul, Belibo. Samach le Bedika miyad. Right after the Bedika. Right? The Omar, you should say, Kol Chamir Bedika Bebeis HaDein Levatel. Whatever I have in my house, to be Bittel. So he starts off by saying, Belibo, and then he says, say the following thing. Take Kol Chamira. Right? So what's going on here? So some say, what Rashi's saying is, Middah, right? So you can do a Belief. But Middah Rabbanon, you should say something. But the whole purpose of saying is only Middah Rabbanon. Middah, right? So you can do a Belief. So within one Rashi, he says two things. My time of why? Why do I have to do Bittel? Enei mamishum perurin. If you're going to tell me because of the crumbs, which you can't really check for, it's hard to find all the crumbs. But halacha shivi. That's not chashuv. I mean, that's not chashuv. The ivchi tema. No, maybe they are chashuv. Why? Kiven de minter lahu agav beisei chashivi. But when you lock your door at night, and you're protecting your stuff, you're protecting the crumbs too. So agav that they're considered chashuv. What? One second. Right, we're going to add right, exactly. Vatanya. So if somebody has leftover figs, which are never going to ripen, Rashi says they're never going to ripen. That's it. They're never going to ripen. But umashamish tadeim up there. But you're guarding your field because you have good grapes. You don't want anyone coming and stealing those grapes. So you have a guard. You hired a guard anyway. Those tadeim you don't really care about. But if not for the grapes, you wouldn't hire a guard. Or, so if you're enough, you have grapes that are never going to ripen. That's it, they're over. They never got ripe. But you're guarding it because of the melons and the gourd, right? Or the other stuff. So if the balabais is makbid, I understand that I would never hire a guard just for those unripe stuff. But once he's there, I'm makbid. I don't want anyone. Then asur mishum getzel, you're not allowed to steal those. V'chayavim meiser, and they're chayavim meiser. Because they're good stuff, because you're makbid. But if you're not machbid, then mutar mishum gazel, they're hefker, or patur mishum meiser, and they're pater for meiser. So what do you see? It's based on das. So you're very good. You're locking your door at night. But like you said, you're locking it because you don't want them to steal the silver. Nothing to do with the crumbs.
Das is you don't care.
Exactly. So Amar Rava, Rava says no. Gzeru shema yimtza glusko yafa. Maybe you'll find a very tasty piece of chametz. V'daitei alavaihu. And you're going to be very interested in it. And you know, maybe we'll pick up here tomorrow, we'll start going into this whole line. There's a lot of Torah here.
Or maybe you say that we don't know what your baseline das is, so therefore we force you.
Rashi says that you're going to have a momentary taiva.
So that is the
even, what?
In the case of the crux,
yeah.
So it depends on your das.
Right.
So maybe by making you do bitzel, we're forcing, you know.
No, so we're assuming the average das is nothing. That's what we're assuming. No one has das crumbs. Somebody eats crumbs. So we're assuming no one has das crumbs. So we'll pick up here about the Gluska Yafa. Okay, today's shiur was learned L'Nishmas Moshe Aaron Ben Yisrael.